all of our guests out this morning. Looks like we've got quite a few. It's good to see everyone out. Correction of this bad weather that's coming. It's good to see everyone was able to make it out this morning. We invite you, all of our visitors, to meet with us again this evening. If the weather's not so bad, we'll be meeting again at 4 o'clock this evening, and we also meet on Wednesday evenings at 7. So we invite you to meet us anytime you have opportunity. As for who's serving this morning, we will have our song would be Keith. He's got number 501 selected as the first song, if you would be turning there. Lord's Supper will be led by Mark Kaysen, who will be assisted by Dan. Mark Nevins will have our opening prayer, and Mike Johnson will have our closing prayer, and Chuck will be bringing us the lesson this morning. We will also have a few other announcements. Those on the sick list, we've got Warren is out sick, as well as Christina's not feeling well this morning either. Out of town, we've got Andrew and Charlotte. They're out of town this morning. Hopefully, they'll be back this evening. And a few other announcements. Let's remember to keep Kevin and Samantha in our prayers and the new baby that was born. In regards to that, we have an announcement. We're expecting our second baby in late August or early September. We're not mentioning anything on Facebook just yet, so keep that between us. But also for this evening, same as this morning, I'm sure we'll be notified if we'll have services this evening, so keep an eye out for your email depending upon when the weather actually comes through. That's all the announcements I have this morning, so we'll turn things over to Keith.
I think Mark Nevins is here this morning, so I'll ask Tim to lead us in prayer for the second time. Number 501.
Oh, worship the King, our glorious above, and gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, brilliant in splendor and girded with praise. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer,
song will be 502, right there next to it. 502.
Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh,
the throne that is whiter than snow. In the city that is made of gold. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me that he smiles on his children there, and his smile drives their sorrows all away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again in that lovely land of unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
Now we got my father and friend.
Father, our God, our Creator, and our Maker, we're so blessed and thankful for this another day of life you bless us with, Father, a day that we could come here on this Lord's Day to sing songs of praise to you and study more about your will for us, Father, that we might be more pleasing to you as your children. Father, we thank you for being our God and our Creator and knowing all the thoughts and voices that we have here that are singing praises to you as we sing these songs, Father. May we understand the words, the unclouded day that we sing about, and for that home that you prepare for us in heaven. We know no clouds and no sorrows. We know, Father, that we trust in your promises, that it's there, and we strive harder each day. We pray that you'll help us to always keep our focus on heaven, Father, and never let this world pull us down. We know that there's so many sinful things out there that can bother our thoughts and our actions, Father. We pray that you just always help us to have that resolve to not give in to those temptations. But we know that because of Jesus and his death on the cross, if we do fall short of your will, we have that path back to you through Jesus and his death on the cross, and we might have remission of our sins, having been Christians. Father, we thank you for our visitors who are here with us, who are also seeking spiritual things. The reason they're here and that we're all here is to have our thoughts on our spiritual matters, Father. You know, we all have a soul, and we're concerned about where that soul will spend eternity, and that's why we're here, Father, to gather here and give you the praise and honor that you're due. We thank you for your grace and mercy, Father. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come to you and to give you our thoughts and petitions and ask you what is on our mind, and we might have that those prayers answered, Father. And we pray that you'll help us to pray on behalf of those who are sick. You know, Sister Pam Bays is undergoing some severe cancer issues, but she's being treated, and it sounds like very positive things are coming from that. We pray that you'll help us to pray for her as the brothers and sisters at Northwest are doing also. Father, we know that you're an awesome God and that you can help us recognize those opportunities that are there that we have to teach the lost. We pray that you'll help us to always to look to those avenues that you give us so we can say something to someone that might lead them to you. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for the life that he lived on this earth, that he never gave in to sin. And we know that that's our standard, that we should try to be sinless, Father. We know it's difficult for us, but you've given us that pattern, and we can follow Jesus and know that it can be done, and we help us to strive harder each day to be more like him. Father, we take the Lord's Supper this morning, help us to focus our thoughts and minds on Jesus and his death and his resurrection, and that opportunity we have for that home in heaven because of his love for us. Father, we pray that you'll look down upon us with favor this morning and find all we do in accordance with your will. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
Amen.
For the Lord's Supper is offered, we'll sing song number 511. for 511.
Oft we come together, oft we sing and pray, here we bring our offering on this holy day. Help us, Lord, thy love to see. May we all in truth and spirit worship thee. May we keep in memory all that thou hast said. May we truly worship as we eat the bread. Help us, Lord, thy love to see. May we all in truth and spirit worship thee. May we all in spirit, all with one accord, take this cup of blessing given by the Lord. Help us, Lord, thy love to see. May we all in truth and spirit worship thee.
We'll be reading this morning in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. Beginning verse 23. For I received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, which he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, and drink this cup as you show the Lord's death till he comes. Let's pray. Merciful Father, we offer our thanks unto you now for this opportunity and privileges we have as your children to gather around this table, to direct our minds back upon the time when Jesus went to the cross for the sins of mankind. We ask that you bless this bread which we're about to partake, that it is a communion with that body that was nailed to the cross. We ask that you help us, Father, to do this in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable to you as we honor Jesus on this first day of the week. We make this prayer in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Father, we continue in prayer, thanking you also at this time for this fruit of the vine before us, which we recognize as being symbolic of Christ's blood that was shed for us. Father, we know that this blood was crucial for each of us, and that it was had the power to wash away our sins, and there was nothing else we could do that would be able to accomplish that. Father, we're thankful for that sacrifice that was made on our behalf. We recognize it as a great spiritual blessing from you, Father. We pray that we can continue to hold it in high regard and not take it for granted at any point. All these things we ask in your Son's name at this time.
That concludes the Lord's Supper. This being the first day of the week, now we as the members of this local congregation have an opportunity to lay by in stores we've been prospered this past week. As is our custom, we always want to point out to our visitors that we are not soliciting money from you. You're welcome to give if you so choose. Let us pray. Father, we humble ourselves before you, thanking you now for this opportunity that we have to return a portion of the spiritual or the financial blessing that we had in this past week. We pray, Father, that each of us has given careful thought and deliberation of this, and we are returning a portion of that you might be pleased with, Father, as we do this. And we ask you to, again, thank you, to accept our thanks for all these things, and make this prayer in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Amen.
take the marker in your psalm book and mark Psalm number 23. Psalm number 23 we'll use as a song of invitation after Chuck's lesson this morning. Once you've marked that page, turn over to Psalm number 684. Number 684. If it's convenient, would you please stand and sing the song? 684.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their song of sweetest praise ripped back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home.
Open up your Bibles to Romans, the 12th chapter. In just a few moments, I'll read something from that chapter, Romans chapter 12. While you're turning there, I'm going to be turning to yet another passage to make reference to. To welcome everyone, it's good to see a full crowd once again, even though we have a number of our members who are out of town. We're glad you're with us today. I will just give you a quick update, visited with the architect. You know, we're still waiting to get those renovation approvals for the building we have on Van Road we purchased. And I actually said, you know, he always tells me that he can never talk to anybody live up there. So on Friday morning, he actually talked to the person up there in Indianapolis, gave them the file number. He took it out of the stack there and said, yes, I have it in my hand. I will look at it today. I'm still not holding my breath, but anyways, at least it seems to be like some progress. The guy just puts a stamp on there, we can get started on our renovation. So let's continue to pray about that. We're so excited to hear about with Jesse and Nikki and Rowan. Rowan's more excited, you know, having a brother or sister. We're thankful for that. We need to remember them in our prayers. Okay, I wanted to start off this morning because we were just thinking about the Lord's Supper, the death of Jesus, you know, the meaning behind all of that and the benefit of that. And really, folks, the purpose of all that is for you and I so we could have salvation. And I'm thinking of a passage. Now, stay there in Romans chapter 12, but there's a passage over here in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, Peter says in verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I love that passage. We're called out of darkness. That's the called out. That's what the word church means. The church means the called out. And his special people. We have been called to be Christians, folks. We have been called to be different. That's what makes us special, if we're a child of God. And when I think of this passage in Romans chapter 12, he tells us in verse 2, but I'll read verse 1, but I'm going to focus on a phrase in verse 2. But verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We just finished singing a song. I asked Keith if he would lead that, 684. This world is not my home. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And the whole point is, this world is not our home. And I want us to think about that. We just finished singing, we're not to be conformed to this world. But I'll tell you, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard not being conformed to the world. We're in the world. We spend so much of our time outside of this ideal environment. I love this environment. We're cut off from all the entertainments that are out there, all the pressures that are out there, all the lures that are out there. And we have this little time of refuge when we come together as a church, as a body, as a family. Get a chance this afternoon once again, and then on Wednesday, but really when you think about it, you know, we're here for 2 hours, an hour this afternoon. That's three, and then an hour on Wednesday. That's 4 hours. Do you think we spend more time in this environment than the other? Of course not. Obviously, it's a very small fraction of our life that we spend with our brothers and sisters. We talk about going to heaven where we're going to be with all the righteous for eternity. Wow, how great that will be. Think about that. But I want us to think about the idea of what's so bad about being conformed to the world. And we would be rather naive to say, Chuck, I am not influenced by the world in the least bit. Seriously? You've conquered that? Now, I know Tim talked about the idea that Jesus lived a sinless life so we can be, but we are not and never will be sinless, but we will sin less. We should be getting stronger. And this passage is telling us how you can get stronger is to make sure that I'm not conformed to this world. And I have to ask myself sometime, who's winning that battle? The lure of the world. To tell people not to be conformed to this world, it's not like saying, hey, don't take your shoes off there, Dan, and walk on glass. Well, you don't have to tell me that, Chuck. That's an easy thing not to do. But to tell somebody not to be conformed to the world, yikes, now that's a different story because the lures of the world are so appealing and so strong and they're so satisfying. And that's what I want us to be thinking about. How do I know the world is appealing? Well, I turn over to a passage like 1 John. 1 John chapter 2 is where I'm going. And when you have John himself talking about this concept of the world, I don't want to go into all of what he describes of what it is, but he says in verse 15, the first line, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, he said, don't love the world. Chuck, what are you trying to tell me? Don't love the world. I mean, that's like telling Chuck not to like vegetables. He doesn't like them. That's easy. But no, but to not love the world is lovable. There's things about the world that are desirable is the point. You know, the reason why the serpent had so much success with Eve is he told her to, you know, to get her to look at the fruit. Because it said once she looked at the fruit, she desired the fruit. And that's what happens with us. We look at the world and we become worldly. And we're doing everything that we can to be God's peculiar, God's special people. To not belittle the sacrifice of Christ. Christ died on the cross, folks, that we could be different. And the world is saying, don't be different. Your friends are saying, don't be different. Conform. Conform to this world. And the devil's winning that battle. He is winning the battle because there's so much pressure out there to conform. Titus chapter 2. I want to just make a quick point here from the second chapter. Titus chapter 2. He tells us in verse 11, as Paul writes to this young evangelist, he says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that," what? "Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, and that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, and purify himself, his own special people, zealous for good works." See, that's the point. We gathered around this table. We didn't take it lightly. There was a great sacrifice involved. Yeah, so that you can have your past sins forgiven. That's wonderful. Become a Christian. Becoming a Christian doesn't take care of your future sins. Good grief. You have to live faithfully. And why is he telling the Roman brother there in Romans chapter 12, don't be conformed to this world? Paul, we're Christians. Christians don't conform to the world. What? I'm telling you, don't do it because people are doing. Christians are doing. That's a warning for me. So how might I be guilty of conforming to this world? Well, go to James. Book of James, chapter 4, is where we'll look at. James chapter 4. Befriend the world. One way to conform to the world is to befriend the world. He says, look, start in verse 1 of James chapter 4. "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from the desire for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." I know you're sitting out there. I know you don't want to be an enemy of God. Like I don't want to be an enemy of God, but that's what I'm going to be if I'm going to be conformed to this world. If I'm going to befriend this world. Am I befriending this world? When I think about friendships, I value friendships. Who are your closest friends? Who are your closest friends? I just want to ask you that. If you plan an event this week, who instantly comes to mind that you want to come to that party? Who are you going to feel comfortable around, the most comfortable around? Makes me wonder about that. Because we're close to them. We're close to them. The Corinthians were given a warning about this over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to begin reading in verse 14 if you want to follow along. Here's how he puts it to the Corinthian brethren who struggle with a lot of things, these brethren. He said in verse 14, 2 Corinthians 6, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Nothing. What communion has light with darkness? Nothing. What accord has Christ with Belial?" Or what part of the believer with the unbeliever, basically? "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they're going to be my people." You're not tied to them, to the world. We need to see the difference in being with the lost in order to teach them, and being with the lost to be like them. I understand that. Because I'm around. And you are too. And I need to learn this lesson. I need to be aware of this. And so one of the ways that I might be conformed is befriending the world. But secondly, like walking to be like them. And that's what Paul was telling the Ephesian brethren. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. It's pretty strong. Like walking to be like them. Look at at verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2. He says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. And once you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we also once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others." That's the way we were. We walked like the world. But who's winning the battle? Do we even think about the things that we engage in? We walk like them is what we're talking about here. I think of Hebrews chapter 10, 25. I think of times when I was a young Christian. You know, and I'm supposed to come out of the world, but the lures were there, the powers were there with family and friends' influence. And somebody ever asked me a question as a young Christian, and maybe even being asked as an older Christian to some of us here. But let me ask you this question. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some, but exhorting so much one another so much more as you see the day approaching." Have you ever forsaken the assembly because of hanging out with the world? Let me ever ask you that question. Have you ever missed? Couldn't attend any time on Sunday. Not because you weren't sick. Not because your car broke down. Not because of the weather. I'm saying because of friendship with the world. Has it ever caused us to miss? Walking like them, folks, is the key. The world has a walk. And at the expense of being conformed to the world, we need to be aware of this. I need to be aware of this. The temptation is always out there, especially when I visit with family, and family members are not members of the church. And they're like, "What's the big deal? What's one Sunday?" Actually, I had a member of church ask me that many years ago. "Chuck, I have never missed services my whole life." I had no reason to question her. I loved her dearly. But she says, "You know what? I'm just going to miss one Sunday. I'm just going to miss one. These people want to have a party. I'm just going to miss." What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? When our Lord says, you know, you come and you remember me, you worship me. And I'm just saying that there is the pressures of this world that we're constantly facing. And it gets to the point that, like Jeremiah's day, when the people couldn't even blush anymore, when you're conformed to the world and it doesn't bother you anymore. Paul talked about that, having a seared conscience. A seared conscience. Where you're unfeeling, like a callus. Nothing bothers you. You know, it's like telling somebody who's an habitual liar, telling them how bad lying is. Yeah, amen, amen. You know, it just rolls off like duck water on a duck's back. Preach it hard, preacher. Yeah, lying's wrong. And they lie up a storm. And that might be an indication of being conformed to the world. Because the world, it doesn't bother them. You know, if I was around my family, a bunch of non-Christians, and I pointed out some of the things they're doing that are wrong, they're going to go, "So what? I don't care. Everybody else does it." You know, and who cares about what you think? And I get that. Go to 1 John chapter 4. There's something, another indication to me. 1 John chapter 4. We're answering the question of how I might be conformed to this world, and I really don't want to be, but there are those lures that are out there. And our Lord is saying, "Chuck, don't be conformed to this world. Don't anybody be conformed to this world, especially those who claim to be God's people." But over in 1 John chapter 4, he tells us in verse 4, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them." Talk like the world. Think about that. You know, it was a few weeks ago, I enjoyed, the ladies were having a cooking exchange in our house, so I had to skedaddle. So a bunch of us met somewhere. Out for some pizza. It's nice. You're gathered around the table. Give thanks before we eat. Spiritual conversation and just good conversation, whether we're talking about some sports or whatever too. Clean conversation. The kind of conversation that you just enjoy, you just uplifted and you enjoy being around one another. You like that. I like that. We don't talk like the world. We're different. And our conversation says so much about ourselves. We just talked about that with our teen class, about the purity of our speech and how it's supposed to be. Going back over to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and I really don't have time to read all of this. I'd like to read the first 12 verses, but I'll just read a little bit of this. Ephesians chapter 5, and he begins in verse 1. He says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering of a sacrifice to God as a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let that not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but the rather the giving of thanks." You see that? Well, the kind of conversation that we have, we don't find it amusing. We don't find it entertaining. But there are times we find ourselves, whether on TV or whether a movie, that we might lower and we're becoming comfortable. I understand that, folks, and that's the danger. I'm just trying to get us to be aware of it, that there's the danger for us being comfortable, totally at ease. I have told you the story. Some of you, this is the first time. Some of you, you've heard it a couple of times. That the first time I left home, I was 18 years old. Gone away for 4 months. Took classes in Danville, studying the Bible in Danville, Kentucky. I go back home for the holiday. And I'm like, wow, my family cusses up a storm. Good grief. I wasn't aware of it. But they didn't change. I hadn't been around it for 4 months. But then all of a sudden, every word was jumping out. And I'm saying, man, what a bunch of cussers. But they didn't change. You get comfortable around, and I need to be careful about that. When we get comfortable with songs that we hear, you know, people might say, why, you listen to Led Zeppelin? Man, you listen to this rock station, or you listen to this, and you watch that television program. Yeah, but I turn the channel when that stuff comes on, and blah, blah, blah. And you want to be careful about this stuff, but then you start talking about, well, do you actually listen to the lyrics? Well, yeah, I don't listen to that song. Yeah, I don't listen to that song. Okay, that's fine, but I'm telling you, if you get into the point where, I listen to the radio a lot. But we enjoy singing praises to God, right? But being conformed to this world is having more fun. I enjoy having fun rather than serving God. So, well, Chuck, can I serve God and have fun? Yes, there's such thing as good, wholesome fun. But remember what we were talking about here over in Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 8. I'll skip down a little bit. Skip over some verses. It says, "You once were in darkness, but now you are the light of the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth." Find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Finding out what's acceptable. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. It's a shame for even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. I mean, does anything make us uncomfortable anymore? I tell you, one of the biggest things is, you know, you talk about talking like them, and I didn't even have it on my outline, because that's a different sermon in and of itself, but I'm thinking in terms of, what about dress? We get so comfortable being exposed to a modest dress and apparel that it just doesn't bother us anymore, and people are becoming more and more conformed. We need to be careful about these very things. Look at Matthew chapter 26. I want to use it in the opposite way that it was used here for us to think about our speech. I want to ask you, does your speech betray you? Now, in Matthew chapter 26, when Peter denied the Lord 3 times, we had an individual say to Peter in verse 73, a little later those who stood, and I'm in Matthew 26, 73, a little later those who stood came up and said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Well, they figured, well, you know, you're following with the Lord. You're one of them, and your speech is giving you away. And does your speech give you away that you're conformed to this world? Or does their speech give you away that you're not conformed to this world? There are ways that we are conformed and not. And you and I need to be understanding that the way we speak and the way we talk says a lot about ourselves. I don't want to be conformed to this world. And you and I need to be aware of that. We must leave the grasps of this world, is what he talks about. I don't want to be worldly. I'm to do like Paul told the Philippian brethren, think on things that are pure and holy and just. But turn with me to 2 Peter. I mean, I started out today talking about how important it is for us to remember the importance of the death of Jesus. Why did he go through that? Well, he went through that so we could go to heaven. Did Jesus go through his death? Did Jesus go through his death so you can do anything that you want worldly? Satisfy your worldly desires? Because that's what he talked about in 1 John chapter 2. Don't love the world. I didn't read the rest of that. It said, don't love the world. He went on to talk about, well, what's in the world? The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It's of the world. It's not of God. And people want to satisfy all those desires, and that's what the serpent said to Eve. Take it. You won't die. Eat it. She looked at it. She desired it. You don't think worldliness is appealing? Why do you think the majority of the world are going to be lost? That broad way that leads to destruction, Matthew 7, 13, and 14. Why do you think a lot of Christians fall away? Worldliness. They go back into the world. Now, I ask you to turn to that passage in 2 Peter chapter 2, because it tells us in verse 18 beginning, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if, after they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. See what he's saying? He said, you can escape the world. That's great. But you can go right back into it. The world wants to pull you back in. Don't look back. But the world is appealing, isn't it? Isn't it? It's fun. Sin is fun. Sin is easy. Sin is satisfying temporarily. It satisfies the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, for a time. But that's why it's continuing to be a lure. We escape the pollutions, but we must avoid being marred by it. I mean, we may have been better off just to start out our sermon today by going to James chapter 1. Now, a person who's not a Christian doesn't really matter, right? I mean, they're in the world, they're of the world. But, you know, if we are Christians and we've come out of the world, we've got to remember what our Lord expects from us. James chapter 1, he tells us in verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows. And here it is, in their trouble. And to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Unspotted from the world. Can you say that the world, and I guess it would be those that know you, can you say that the world really doesn't know who you are? Or do they? You see, in 1 John chapter 3, and this is, I've used the illustration before, when somebody would say something about somebody I know very dear to me. Somebody said, man, I saw your wife the other day. Man, she was cussing up a storm. I go, that wasn't my wife. You've mistaken her for somebody. You don't know. When you know somebody. And so I'm thinking about the people that know you. I'm asking you, the people that know you. Because I think of 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. How special that is. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. The world doesn't know me. My mom really doesn't know me. Do you want to know that? My family really doesn't know me. I call her every week, every Monday. There it is. My plan. Call mom, call mom, call mom, call mom. Every week I call her. And I've been around her. I've gone up and had some of the family come in. They don't know me. You know me more than they know me. I'm closer to you than I am to my own physical family. And that's the way it's going to be. And I don't apologize for that. I only feel bad that I'm not, because I wish that they would put God first and serve Him and love Him and talk about the joys of being a child of God. My conversation with them is, how's the weather up there? How much snow you got? How are the kids doing? How's my siblings? Talking about that. She's not asking, how's the church? How's the work going? You know, any studies going on? You know, how are the members? You know, the on a spiritual level, it's just not there. Because when it comes to the worldly and those people that are Christians, you don't have that bond. And so I'm coming back and asking that question, does those people, or do, excuse me, those people that you know and hang around, do they know you? Do they know you? Because if you say, well, they really don't know me, but maybe they do. Maybe they see a side of you that doesn't. In other words, if they visited here today and heard a sermon such as this and seen how distinct from the world we're supposed to be, and they're sitting there listening and they're looking at you because they hang around you and they're not members of the body of Christ, and they're looking at you and they're listening, looking at you, and you're going, That doesn't match up. So do they know you? This says the world doesn't know you. And I'm not talking about leading a double life either, folks. I'm talking about the kind of people that know that we are going to be different, we're not ashamed of it, and it can be awkward at times. I'm going back to Romans chapter 12. Our sermon's just about done, but you know what? This hits home to me, because I'll be honest with you. I want to reach the lost. But when I want to have a party, it's funny, I'm not thinking about people I play hockey with. Some of those guys are nice guys, and I try to talk with them. We've had some conversations, invite them out to our gospel meeting, invite them to our service, let them know about our TV program and our radio program. But others, man, I'm just over there getting dressed and getting out on the ice, because I don't want any part of that. I don't want any part of that conversation. And they know it's different. And so they don't get chummy with me. Some of them do, who don't participate in that kind of stuff. But see, people notice, right? And you're not going to apologize for being different. I am not wanting to conform to this world. But let's not think that I might be conforming in other areas. I got to be alert about this. I'm not preaching at anybody here. I'm just warning us about the dangers that are out there. To think that you and I cannot become worldly, we're sadly mistaken. We can bring worldliness right in here. We don't want that. And so then I see Paul's admonition. You know, I talked about verse 2. But you can't have verse 2 working effectively if you neglect number 1. Verse 1, rather. And so, if you're not going to be conformed to this world, you back up. And he says, well, okay, are you presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice? Does God come first always? Or does he get put on the back burner? Are you holy? Holy, wow. We're told to be holy as God is holy. That means to be separate. Separate and apart. It's like being sanctified, to be holy. Holy, 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 we sing. Are you holy? You're different. You've been set apart. Acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Acceptable to God. We discussed in our Bible study this morning what Paul said in Galatians 1, verse 10, not verse 12. If I seek to be pleased man, I cannot please my Father, which is in heaven. Or not to be man pleasing. And so you are here to please God. Are you walking in the light? As he is in the light, as 1 John 1 tells us. Are you a Christian? Have you escaped the pollutions of the world? You don't escape the pollutions of the world by saying, well, I don't like the pollutions of the world. It doesn't mean you've escaped the pollutions of the world. You haven't escaped the pollutions of the world if you said, I want to go to heaven. Just wanting to go to heaven doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Good grief, people can wish for anything they want. You can wish for $1 million. It doesn't mean you're getting it. You have to do something. Our Lord expects you to obey from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. You have to obey the gospel. What happens if you don't obey the gospel? 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 8, inflaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and have not obeyed the gospel. You have to obey. You have to do something. Yes, I know Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected. And as you told me before, those are just facts. You say, Chuck, I believe that Jesus died and he rose. Okay. I'm glad you believe that, but how do you obey that? That's just facts. I've told you guys before. The weather outside is 38 degrees. Go ahead. Hurry up. What are you talking about? It's 38 degrees. Hurry up. Go. Go what? That's not... You're not telling me... That's just a fact. It's 38 degrees. You're not telling me to do anything. Jesus died, buried, resurrected. Hurry up. Go, go, go. That's nothing. You have to obey the gospel. Now, your obedience to the gospel cannot be done without that. That's grace. But you're saved by grace through faith. What kind of faith? James says there's such thing as a dead faith. So you can believe and have a dead faith. Even the demons believe it, right? You can believe all you want. You know there are going to be lost believers. What? There'll be lost believers. And you can read that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord. What are you saying, Lord, Lord? Well, we believe in you, Lord. Many will say unto me that in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done this and done that? Done this? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You have to obey the gospel. And how do you do that? The way everybody else did in the New Testament. After Jesus died and went back to heaven, everybody else became a Christian the exact same way. We'll sit down, we'll study with you, and we'll show you. I don't want you to believe me, we'll show you the verses. But here's what they did. They heard the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You have to hear the gospel. You have to believe. Unless you believe I am he, you'll die in your sins. You need to confess with the mouth. Confession is made unto salvation. You need to repent. Unless you repent, shall all likewise perish. And you need to be baptized in Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. Rise up a newness of life. Romans chapter 6. But we'll show you the verses. And if you escape the pollutions of the world and you've gone back in, guess what James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20 says? You need to be restored. You need to come back. You need to repent. You don't have to be baptized again. There's only one baptism. But you can have forgiveness in Christ. The invitation is for you. But remember, folks, let's keep ourselves unspotted from the world. If you've sinned of a private nature, just take care of it, is what we're saying. If it's of a public nature, you take care of it, and we'll pray with you and pray for you. We subject the invitation in any way, let it be known. So we stand together and sing the song.
Oh, things are ready.
Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed. Here the invitation, come whosoever will, praise God for soul salvation. Come feast upon Come, who ever will. Praise God.
Kind of lesson that, that Chuck brings us, you know, helps us to reflect on ourselves. And Brother Dave has come forward today, saying that you know, he's had some issues in his life with his physical family, and he's burned some bridges there, and he's trying to fix those bridges. He's going to have a meeting with his son tomorrow, and trying to reconcile with his son for some things that he said in the past, and he wants us to pray on his behalf that he'll be able to do that and make things right there as well. He's also mentioned that in his life, you know, his job life and all, that he uses language sometimes that he shouldn't use, and all of us can identify sometimes with the, you know, the anger we may feel sometimes with things that aren't going our way, and we may lash out in certain ways and say things that we shouldn't. And Dave, since he's got an issue with that, and he'd like us to pray on his behalf also, that he'll be able to fix those things in his life also. So, you know, the kind of lessons that Chuck brought before us today from God's Word just help us to prick our hearts to know that there's things in our lives that need to be fixed. And it's not a sign of weakness on Dave's part, it's a sign of strength coming forward to say, you know, I've got a problem and I need to fix it and I need your help and I need you to help pray for me when these situations arise. So we're going to consider those things that Dave has mentioned to us as we close our service today. I can't remember who had the closing prayer today, Mike. So if you would pray on Dave's behalf as we close the services today, we'd appreciate it. We'd also like to thank our visitors, you know, for being here with us. And as you witnessed today, we're a loving congregation when we find strength in our Lord and His Word and in each other. So we're glad that you're here. If you have an opportunity to come back, please come back with us. So if you would please stand and Mike lead us in a closing word of prayer.
Bow with me as we pray. Most gracious and righteous Heavenly Father, we come to you humbly in prayer at this time, thanking you and praising you as the only true and living God, thanking you for this time that we've had this morning to assemble and to worship you in song, to open your word and to study from it, to remember Jesus' death on the cross. We pray that the things that we've done here this morning have been in accordance with your will and pleasing in your sight. Father, we're so thankful this morning for all the things that you bless us with, most of all the spiritual blessings, for the plan of salvation that you made available to us by Jesus and his willingness to come to give his life for us. Help us, Heavenly Father, to never forget those things and to not take those things for granted. Father, at this time we come to you on behalf of Dave. We're so thankful for his strength and his willingness to want to make things right for wanting to correct those areas in his life that need more strength and Father, we just pray your blessings upon him, give him strength where he needs it in the situations that he faces with his family and his work, and Father, help us to support and encourage him in any way that we can, and help us to be encouraged by his willingness to want to do what's right and to look at our own lives and see that. That if there are areas that need to be addressed, that we would do so in whatever ways would be necessary. But we pray your blessings upon Brother Dave at this time and upon all of us as we strive to do what's right so that we can stand before you with clean hands and pure heart. Father, we pray for each one who's represented here this morning. We pray for our visitors who come our way. We pray whatever capacity that they're here or they're passing through. We pray your blessings upon them as they go their way. They're visiting from the area. We pray that the things that they've seen this morning have been in accordance with your will, and that they recognize that we strive to serve you and only you and not man. Father, as we know that in a few hours that we will go back out into the world, and we pray your blessings upon us. Help us to live lives that are boldly devoted to you, not to be influenced or conformed to the world, but to recognize that this world is not our home, but to look to the life hereafter, that we would truly want to spend eternity with you, and not to get caught up in the things that Satan tries to distract us with here in this life. From time to time, we do see him. Forgive us of those things, and help us to depend on them where need be. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Going on, man?